Hey, it's good to see you, and good to see our friend way back. Are you still in Florida? You're in Kalispell now? Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here with your family. God bless you. I hope everybody gets to see you. Let's take our Bible here. We're going to go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Let's stand to give God the reading of His Word tonight. We have been blessed by wonderful music tonight. Remember now, this is little Koistel's last night with us on Sunday night. And that's right, right? Yeah, but this is the last Sunday night, amen. And we love you, Koistel. We pray, God, you go out to let everybody know you're from Heritage, amen. Amen. I love that school out there. I love that president. Good friend of mine. A lot of good friends of mine over there, over at Golden State. And God is good. How many went to Golden State? Would you raise your hand? I think you got two graduates here, right? Amen. Huh?
Charlene and Becky.
And Becky, oh. Amen. All graduated from there. Praise the Lord. That's great. I'm glad about that. Do that, will you? Just get it done. I'll come and see you. You get put your hat on, you go like this over your mortar board. Hallelujah. All right. John chapter 12. I'm glad we can all read it tonight. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, there they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Boy, that is a sad commentary, isn't it? On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches, and you remember the story goes on there, and I want to talk to you about something else tonight. Father, I pray you just speak to our hearts. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to understand that there is a price to pay, and that price has already been paid by our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk close to you and be very careful that we would not destroy the things that God has given to us. Sometimes there are some things that come into our lives we can't understand. It'd be best if we just be quiet and trust you in it. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you tonight about if Jesus came to your house today. First of all, if Jesus came to your house today, you'd hope that you had about a week to clean it, amen? My wife and I used to have years ago, we used to have a party at our house and invite our members of our church while it was still small, and they'd all come to our house. And I will tell you, for about 2 weeks, my wife tightened my bolts down, I'll tell you. and made sure that everything was spotless. We went through everything. And I used to say, tell my boys, well, boys, it's the week where angels fear to tread. Amen. And we'd work hard, and we'd clean it, and work hard. 2 weeks ago, my sister came from South Carolina, sis. And so I employed a couple people to help me to clean my basement. My basement has just been, well, nobody lives down there anymore. Nobody, you know, so I just got boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes there because when Marcia had her ventricular cardiac arrest 3 years ago, we moved a lot of stuff that she would not use anymore, and we moved a lot of things, and it just got put in a box. And therefore, they just stayed. Didn't need them, just stayed there. Amen. And so, my sister was out last year, and she helped me to do a lot of work, and we got rid of a lot of her clothes and a lot of things that need to be get rid of. Well, anyway, she said, the next time I come, I'll help you with the rest of it. But I was going to be doggone if I was going to have her have to come down and help me. So I got busy, and thank God for some wonderful people in my church that come over to help me. And we carried boxes up in the garage, and one night I went through all those boxes. I threw stuff away that shouldn't probably have been thrown away, but I threw it away. Amen. If you don't use it in 3 years, I don't think you're going to use it. Boy, that's hard for me because I'm a hoarder. But anyway, you know, I think that every bolt and nut that comes off ought to be put in a place so you can use it some other time. Amen. I'm just one of them old guys. Amen. And you know, you wives don't understand it. That's just the way it is. We know that we're going to use it. Now I've found out it's a lot faster to go over to Big R and get a bolt and dig through all that stuff. But anyway, maybe I am learning. But anyway, but we went and just did everything. And guess what? She didn't go down the basement. I want you to particular look at the people that Jesus Christ went to his house. Jesus' friends. The homes were always open to Jesus and his disciples. That was quite a deal, having 12 guys come to your house, plus Jesus, amen. And they just were happy to have them in, amen. I think sometimes we put too much on ourselves, and we're afraid to have people stop over because we're unwilling to swallow our pride, I guess that's the word for it, and just have you over and, hey, if you're a house inspector, you come in the wrong place, amen. Bethany was a place, one of those blessed memories. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. When a pastor comes to your house, he is not a house inspector. He's not a health inspector. He comes there just to be with you. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. The man of God will stop to see you. Amen. There's just something about stopping at someone's house and say, how do you do? When I was first starting pastoring back in the 60s, I would stop to see people. I'd drive into the driveway and hey, the preacher's here. When I was a little boy growing up back in the 50s, boy, my pastor'd stop into our farm, and boy, I'll tell you what, everything stopped. I always liked him to come because that's when we got all goodies. Mama brought some goodies out, amen. And we went into the parlor, the place that the kids couldn't play in. It was a place that had French doors, and Mother would open up the French doors. We'd go in there, and we'd have coffee and tea and crumpets. Not a crumpets, I was teasing. But anyway, tea and cookies and all them wonderful things. You know. And it was a big day. Today, that's not the way it works anymore, it seems like. You have to call up and say, do you mind if we're coming over? Well, I'm kind of busy today, preacher. That's the saddest day I ever hear in my life. Well, we're just We're just, you know, we're just, you know what? If I want to ask you that. If Jesus was to come to your house today, would you say, Lord, I think another day would be better. We're just not ready for you. Let me say this to you, Christians. You ought to always be ready for God. You ought to always have your home ready for the Lord Jesus Christ, because whether you like it or not, He is always there. He's the unseen guest of your home. Whether you like it or not, Jesus is always there. Treat your children the way you ought to treat your children when Jesus would be there if you're not there. When you're sitting across the table, one of them drop a glass of milk, or one of them fall down and bump something and break something. You know, if the preacher's there, you're going to be awful kind. You're going to be quiet, you know, and you're going to beat the fire out of him when you leave. But anyway, you ought to remember that Jesus Christ should be the guest of your home every day. I went over to my boy's house today and ate, and they had one chair sitting in there, and I thought it was like, you know, nobody was sitting there. The whole table, big table, was filled with kids and everybody, but there's that one chair, and I thought, boy, sure nice to have Jesus here today. Amen. When you came to Mary and Martha's house, it was a house of service. Martha was always feeding. Martha was always fussing about stuff. Amen. I love ladies like that. I love Martha's. I do. Sorry. I just, because they're the one that feed you nice food. And they're the one that makes sure that you're taken care of. Amen. It was also a place of instruction. And we saw Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And by the way, unfortunately, you can always have your food, but you can't always have your spiritual food from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a place of communion. Lazarus loved Jesus. It was a place of death. You remember the cry of the girls? Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. There's a place of the resurrection. Everybody poked fun at him, laughed at him. But what happened? Old Lazarus came forth, amen. One man said, I listened to a sermon, he said, bless God, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, good thing he didn't say, come forth, the whole graveside come open, amen. There's a place of blessing. There's a place that, here's a young lady who had saved this ointment of spikenard, which is very costly, and she saved it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you remember when I read the first part of that scripture where it says, in 6 days, 6 days, the Lord Jesus Christ. 6 days before the Passover. 6 days before the day of Passion. 6 days before the Lord Jesus Christ would be taken and cruelly, truly treated, and then taken his life. Bethany was east side of the Mount of Olives. Kind of get an idea where it was at. The place where Jesus loved to, the Lord was taken from heaven, taken back to heaven. Bethany was a favored place of Jesus. At Bethany, there were some various homes that Christ entered into. Jesus entered the house of Simon, the house of a forgiven sinner. Chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. First, when the worst of all women came to his house and poured out the alabaster ointment on him, Simon and the rest of them were distraught at the action of the woman. If you would read other portions of scriptures, the other four gospels, you'd see that the disciples were the one that started griping before Judas Iscariot. They were not impressed with Jesus allowing some sinful woman to do this to him. Jesus gave Simon a parable, which is a earthly story with a heavenly meeting. Jesus then asked him, who loved that master the most? And Simon said, I suppose the one forgiven the most. And Jesus answered, thou hast rightly judged. Then Jesus said to Simon, I came to your house and gave me no water for my feet. She washed my feet with her tears. Thou gave me no kiss. That was a custom back in those days, like shaking hands. She hadn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil. She hath anointed my feet with oil. She has many sins, and they are forgiven for her love, or showed her love. Then Jesus proclaimed to that woman, your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine the load that must come off that lady's heart? The second Jesus entered into Zacchaeus' house, a forgiven sinner, Luke chapter 19, verse 5 through 10. Zacchaeus was a chief publican. I did not say a Republican. I said chief publican. And he was a chief tax collector. And oh, how the Jews hated these men. They were working for the Roman government, and they would cheat the people, and they would to make their wages, and by taking money from their own countrymen. And some have said that if they were be able to cheat their own mother, they would have done it if they had a chance. Zacchaeus stood and told Jesus, "The half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man, a false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold. Jesus answered him, "This day salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In the same city, Christ entered Peter's house as a physician. Mark chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. His mother-in-law was sick of a fever. We hear that Peter was not married. He got a problem there because he had a mother-in-law. And nobody would take a mother-in-law unless they had a wife. Amen. Charles, you're awful quiet there, buddy. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. And listen what the rest of the scripture, and she ministered or served unto them. She just didn't say, lay there and swoon and say, "Oh, woe is me." She got up and served. Hallelujah for those who are willing to serve. Shame on us who are willing to always want to be served. Do you always want to be served? You're going to be the most disappointed person in this world. If you're expecting other people to take care of your needs, it ain't going to happen. Even if that ain't good English, that sure is good living. Amen. Fourthly, Jesus entered into a home at the marriage of Cana as a provider. Mary, his mother, heard that they were out of wine. Now, I know everybody wants to say, "Oh, yeah, they're drinking." Read your Bible. She told Jesus about it, and she told the servants of the house, "Do anything he asks you to do." What did Jesus do? He provided the best. He provided the best. Jesus entered into the upper room as a master. Jesus told his disciples that they needed a place for the Passover, and so he sent his disciples to go, and when they saw a man with a pitcher in his hand, I've been for the longest time trying to get a sermon, the man with the pitcher in his hand, amen. I've tried to work on it. I thought about a baseball player, but usually a baseball player doesn't have a pitcher in his hand. The pitcher has a ball in his hand. I just can't work this one out. I don't know. But he would be the owner of a guest house, and funny thing, he's a man with a pitcher in his hand. Usually men did not carry pitchers. That was deemed as ladies' work to carry the pitcher. Somehow this dude was carrying a pitcher. He probably henpecked and his wife made him do it, but I don't know. They had a pitcher. And it was a sign for them to see a man with a pitcher. I wonder sometimes if we shouldn't do some things that would be honorable to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can work on that one, amen. Then we see Jesus enter into Martha's house as a friend. Jesus entered Lazarus' house, and as he waited for food, Mary sat at his feet, listening intently to the whole words he spoke. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? Wouldn't you like to have sat at the feet of Jesus Christ? And the wealth of information, the omniscient God, Jesus Christ, who knows everything. Wouldn't it have been amazing to just to sit there and listen? "But Lord, what about this? But Lord, what about this? What is this?" You know? And he'd give you the answer. Incredible. So many of us sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. I think of the times that I have pleaded with people to come and hear great preachers. Used to go to pastor's school and folks didn't make the effort. They missed an opportunity of a lifetime. I plead with people to come to church. You have no idea what the Holy Spirit may speak to your heart in a service. And for you to walk away from that miss, I grieve for you. You miss the opportunity of a lifetime. Some things in life, we never get a chance again. Missed opportunities of life go past us so fast. I think of a story that I've told many times. I'm just homesick tonight, so I think I've told it again for myself. My daddy and I were firemen, and we came to check to the elevator. And my dad was up there with a truckload of wheat, and I heard a train. I love trains. They're almost as bad as Andy Commodore loves trains, but I love trains. And any time I hear a train, I want to see the thing. I don't care. I still do the other day. The other day I heard the train. And I thought, boy, I did. When I listen to the Mariners baseball game, and they're in Seattle, you hear the trains every once in a while. How many know that? Yeah, there's a few of you. And so the great big elevator's here, and right behind this huge elevator, there are probably about 8 or 9 tracks, railroad tracks out there, where they did a lot of switching and bringing in grain and taking grain out. And I heard, turk, turk, and I went down and I walked down. And there's a train just back up, chang, you know. And I, wow, I'm standing like this. Good thing a bird didn't fly by, man. I'd got the whole thing in my mouth, amen. But anyway, back and forth. And finally, the engineer stopped. He said, "Hey, boy!" I said, and I couldn't believe he even talked to me because I always waved at him. He said, "Hey, boy!" I said, "Yes, sir." And I was probably about 10 years old. He said, "Would you like a ride?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Go ask your dad if you can have a ride. And I'll give you a ride." And he said, "I'll be right here in this yard switching." And so I ran around, ran up the hill, ran, got my dad. Dad, and I was out of breath, you know. I just, dad, I said, "The man with the train said I can ride. Can I ride?" And he said, "Son, we're just too busy right now. We got to get back to the farm." Being a good little boy, I did. I spit and fussed and cried. No, I didn't. And I said, "Okay." He said, "Maybe some other time." I said, "Okay, Dad." I went back to the train, and he was waiting for it. That old train was, you know how they sound, you know. And he said, well, Dad said, "We got a bit." Well, he said, "Son, you obey your daddy. I'm proud of you." He said, "Maybe next time." That taught me a real good lesson. When I was raising my 3 boys, when we had an opportunity, I'm not cussing my dad. My dad was a hard-working man. I'm telling a hard-working farmer. And we're right in the bean crop, buddy. I'll tell you what, you couldn't stop. You had to get those beans in and get them unloaded and get back. But it taught me a good lesson that, you know, there are certain things in life that are not that important. And sometimes we ought to just pull over and stop a minute. I think there's so many times I drive by these signs on the road, historical markers. How many has ever stopped at least one? 2 of you. Great. I'm glad. Yeah. I have a book that tells all the signs in Montana. So instead of stopping, I just read them. Amen. I was passing a church in Elkton, South Dakota, First Baptist Church, and we had an opportunity. We found out that you can ride the Amtrak, and it's a lot of fun. And so we took our boys when they're old enough that you could kind of trust them. I said, kind of. And we took the train from Minneapolis to Michigan. And did we have a time? And when we left, when we got into Union Station in Chicago, that was a, how many have been to Union Station in Chicago? Isn't that an amazing place? And we got on, and the train started going to the next station to stop. And all of a sudden, a guy said, "Would Sheldon Shear please come to the dining car?" I, first of all, my boys are not with Marcia and I. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and oh, man, what are they doing? So I went down, and he said, is this your dad? I said, yeah. He said, I think I got something for you. He said, "How would you like to ride in the engine?" I said, "What?" He said, "Your boys told me you're a preacher and that you love trains. How would you like to ride up in the front with us?" I said, "Are you kidding me?" I bowed down, kissed all fingers, all his rings. I mean, kind of embarrassing. He said, "The next stop," he says, "we're going to take over. Then the next stop, I don't want you to get out on the, side. I don't want you to get out on the other side of the train. Walk up and we'll meet you." And my son, we named him after Casey Jones for the train guy, you know. And we, Casey went up there. He sat on the engineer's lap. I stood, and we went 90 miles an hour down, oh, beautiful Michigan, man, out there just and old Casey's blowing the whistle. Man, we're just having a good time, man. You know, God always has always with me. Things that I, quote unquote, seem to have missed out because I was unable to do something, God has always brought those things to my heart. Always. It just... So many times we as Christians, we think we got to have something. I want to tell you something. If you wait, you wait on the Lord. He'll renew your spirit. He'll restore your soul. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. Jesus entered into that upper room to reveal His power over death. He let them know that He was resurrected. Jesus entered again the upper room to restore her faith. 8 days after His resurrection, Jesus showed Himself to the disciples. Again, the doors were locked, and He appears in the midst of it. When doubting Thomas is with them then, this time Jesus speaks to Thomas and tells him to reach hither thy finger and behold my hand, and reach thither and thrust thy hand into my side. And He said, "Be not faithless, but believing." Jesus restored Thomas's belief. Thomas answered some of the sweetest words we know in the Bible, "My Lord and my God." Places that Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, is your home open for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you so happy to be, or you have to hide some things? Would you have to make sure that the computer's off? Would you have to get rid of some books that you may have? Or would you say, "Hey, come on over. I'd love to have you in my house." By the way, whether you like it or not, He is in your house. And He sees what you do. And He hears what you say. He knows everything about it. It ain't Santa Claus that knows everything you're doing. It's Jesus Christ that knows everything we're doing, everything we say. He knows those hurtful words that you say. He knows those sweet words you say. He knows those times that you would not even speak back because out of meanness or out of carnalness. But He is a God that knows us and loves us and cares for us. I hope to God that you'll have a home that's open to Jesus Christ. I hope you'll have a home that is open to the Master at all times. And to do that, you start every morning by saying, "Lord, You're an honored guest in our home." And every meal you ought to say, "Lord, the Lord is our honored guest today." I've heard a lot of times, I pastored a church in South Dakota, and I invited the folks just for 1 week to make an extra plate and have an extra chair and say, "Jesus is our honored guest today." I heard a lot of comments from that. They said, "You know, our kids started acting a little different at the dinner table." because the honored guest was there. I hope you'll set a place for your Savior, even just mentally, and say, Lord, we welcome you to our table. You are our honored guest. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray for these young parents, Lord Jesus, just starting with these children, that they would make sure that their home is a place of honor for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, some who have teenagers in their home, that Lord God, that they would remind them that God is there and God is honored to us. And for us that are older, and Lord God, that we need someone to be with us. For our widows that are lonely, help them, Lord, to make that place for you, Lord Jesus. I love that song, No, Never Alone, No, Never Alone. God, help us to remember we're not alone, for you're with us. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight. You say, preacher, there are some things in my heart, in my life, things in my home that I need to change. I want my home to be a place for Jesus Christ. I want him to be my honored guest. Let's stand. Everyone standing. If you'd like to come and bow up here at the altar, we certainly make that time available for you. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. You come. I wish you'd pray, Father, I want you to be my guest in my home. You're already a guest in my heart. I want you to be real in my home. Father Heaven, I pray you'd be with us now. Thank you for these who have made decisions. Lord God, we need you. We cannot do this alone. Please, God, help us. Lord, now bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to sign up.